One.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
What broke him down? Was it
just the body punching?
When I was hitting him with body punching, I heard him actually crying in there. You're saying that Big was crying when you hit him?
Yes.
When did that happen? And perhaps the fourth round on.
BoxingVoice.com.
So that you knew you had him by that
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely,
I knew you were fucking cuffing and taking those punches.
DBLC Productions.
Making woman gestures like,
Let's go, champ. It's the champ. Keep sharing the champ. With the fake champ. It's the Italian Miami Cusco. BoxingVoice.com. I'm a team like he's a C-plus fighter. I'm a Dominic, I'm a Dolphins fighter.
I'm talking about punishment. We're going to punish you for 12 rounds. Either the referee says you had enough, or you can say you had enough, or you can stay your ass there all night.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Boxing Voice in the morning. We're bringing you that heat early for your coffee. Make sure you got it because we have a great guest on. We're going to have a champion, IBF champion, 130-pound champion, Jose the Sniper Pedraza, coming on live right away, right off the bat. I just want to give a huge shout out and thank you to Monsterpiece. During her work hours, setting this up, gonna have him live on the show all the way from Puerto Rico, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, PR Zone champ, Jose Pedraza. He's bringing it back for you guys. IBO champion, IBF champion.
Puerto Rico.
Taking on Gervonta Davis. Now, this is an interesting fight because this is a lot of people torn between. And Mr. Davis is such a novice, right? He's just only maybe 16-0, 15 KOs, hailing from the city of Baltimore, Maryland. But before we get into our breakdown and give you our preview, well, rather mine, right? Let me head over to the Sunshine State.
Boxing them thing was going on, brother. I know you want to sit in on this.
We're going to head on over to a
doctor.
The Sunshine State.
Boxing MD.
Boxing MD, what's going on?
Is that a fair statement to make?
Awesome.
You have to be honest with yourself.
Back again with another, I guess, afternoon over in the UK and morning over in the Eastern Standard Time show, you know, and thank you again, Monsterpiece, for using your, some of your work schedule to get this set up because we got the man himself, Jose Pedraza, on this call. And this is a fight, right? It kind of reminds me a little bit of the Gary Russell Jr. fight before he took about 10 steps up and fought Vasyl Lomachenko. But is Jose Pedraza talented enough and seasoned enough to, you know, stop a hot prospect? A lot of people have him, you know, pretty high up there as, you know, having, a great future to stop that because this is by far his best opponent on record.
You know, it's funny that you even say that, the comparison that you're using, because right away for me, I thought of this one. And not negatively, I was wondering, I said, damn, am I overlooking Gervonta Davis? Is he a Lomachenko kind of fighter where people are okay with him getting an early title shot the way that Rigondeaux got an early title? Is the talent there? And am I the one not sold yet? Am I going to look bad or am I going to look good the way that I look when I said Lomachenko wasn't ready for Salido? That's the way that I picked it. Now, am I going to be right when I say that Tank Davis isn't going to be ready for Jose Pedraza? I don't know, because am I going to say that? I'm just not sure. This kid Davis, his ring name, MD, is the one. And, you know, we talked about this yesterday. Depending on the level of opposition, you can look great. So how do we know that Gervonta Davis is the one when he's facing the likes of competition that he's been facing, like, you know, Guillermo Avila or Luis Sanchez, Cristobal Cruz, who is a good fighter? You know, I did my research. I've been watching tape since like 6 in the morning nonstop. Cristobal Cruz is a guy that Javier Fortuna knocked out himself.
And that was the fight that I got to witness him. That was maybe I've seen him fight twice, but I was at that fight in the venue in Orlando. That was on the undercard of the Tony Thompson, Malik Scott.
And I want to say really quick, because I don't even think we've mentioned it, we're going to give our preview and breakdown, but we're also going to have the champion, Jose Pedraza, live on the line. I mean, I did say that. I'm going crazy now. Could we even thank Monster Peace? But the point is this, right? Things that Gervonta does well. What do you like the best that the young, you know, Davis does?
Explosiveness with power. I would say that he is a little bit of a lunger, which again could be a being critical, but since he is so athletic, the way he lunges, you know, it's similar, I guess, in a sense to how Sean Porter lunges, because they're both athletic, the way that they close gaps very quickly, but it's not necessarily the most technical closing of gaps, which leaves him open to get hit sometimes with a lunging style, because he doesn't necessarily bob and move while lunging in. He kind of just cuts the distance with taking a large step. But when he times an opponent and he lets his hands go, he has scary power at 130 pounds, which is this fight's at, right? Or 126?
Well, this fight is 130.
Okay, so
that's one of the main things I want to bring up. I didn't give what I like about Gervonta, and I'll say that quickly. It's the left hand. He uses it as a straight. He uses that as an uppercut. He uses it as a looping hook. He's a southpaw, so, you know, that left becomes interesting, to say the least. And, you know, the fact that Jose Pedraza is a orthodox fighter, this is going to be really an action fight. Now, the problem is, if you're a Pedraza fan, he doesn't have the power the Tank has. But does Tank have power when you step up in opposition? Because, you know, when he fought Luis Sanchez, I watched that fight. That one went all 9 rounds. Now, that one was scheduled for 10. And, yes, he got the knockout late, which proves he still has power late. But that was Sanchez. That was not Pedraza. Pedraza's a good boxer. Go and watch his fights. When he boxes, he outboxes you. He wins by 4-5 rounds. Now, people are going to talk about the Cherry fight. I say let's go back and watch it. All my Patreon family, let me know. We'll go back and watch it, TBV, All Angle Style, the way me and MD did a few other fights over there for the Patreon members. And we'll find out, did he really lose that fight? Because I'm hearing around the internet, everyone is going with the popular opinion that he did. Well, let's rescore it. Because after that fight, MD, he went on to beat Stephen Smith, who is a guy that only lost to Lee Selsby and, Jason Sosa and, you know, Jose Pedraza. Those are not bad names to be losing to. So I think Pedraza definitely has pedigree and goods. Now, his problem is the lack of power. Do you see that being a problem?
Yes, I do. And I think what took him – I think sometimes we mistake. So, like someone like John Molina, right? Would you say that John Molina, even though he gets totally outboxed by elite boxers, would you say that John Molina has power?
Absolutely has power. Especially he's proven that because he does it late. He's knocked out people late.
Okay. So I think that when we make the statement, if he moves up, does he still have power? The power is going to be there. He has power because you see how these guys react at this weight class when they get hit. Like, he does have extraordinary power He is built like a tank, which he's not that short for, he's 5'6". So I assume the 126 was hard for him to make because he's so muscle bound. He's going to have the power. And so like someone like John Moline has a power.
Wait a minute, is
it going to be successful on Pedraza, who...
Wait a minute, MD. Don't take this as me cutting you off. This is just, you're totally confused here. Tank, you know, he hasn't fought at 126 in a long time, let alone 130. All right. So this kid is not only asking for a title shot on his 16th fight, but he hasn't been around the weight of 130 in over 2 years. So when he has to, now don't get me wrong.
Where's he been fighting?
He's been fluctuating. He's taking the fights where he can. The Luis Sanchez fight was at 131, right? And a quarter, but that was in 2015. Yeah. After that, he fought as high as 135 and a half. You know what I'm saying? And that was June of last year, which means it's a lot of time off, holidays, Christmas. I mean, is he going to make that weight? Is it going to be easy to get back down to a weight you haven't been at in so many years, or at least a couple of years?
I hear you. Well, maybe there's some of the reasons why he fluctuated with the weights is that in 2015, he fought six times, which is a lot, even for a prospect. And you know, in this day and age, especially a prospect who's been getting TV time, that's the difference. That's what PBC did bring us, is they bring us the opportunity to see prospects, is why we saw Gervonta Davis much earlier than we would if we only had HBO and Showtime available. So that is something that everybody should at least be positive about. PBC, myself included, has been a big critic of it, right? So I think that the weight will be much harder for Gervonta Davis to make because, like I said, he's 5'6", he's not 5'3". And if you see his build, he definitely doesn't walk around anywhere near his
I mean, they weight. Call him the baby Tyson amongst the crew.
I see him eventually getting up to 140, maybe even 147 towards the end of his career, because he's only 22. And as we know, as human beings, the body you have at when he started his pro career, maybe 18, and the body you have at 27, it's entirely different. Your muscles mature. Your butt, you know, increase in bone density, those types of things.
Yo, I had to take a call. You know, we're having a live guest in about 2 minutes. Let me check. I see Monster Peace there. Monster, send me a message if you're all ready. We're almost set to have the IBF and IBO champion. Let's start reminding people about that IBO. I mean, everybody talks about it when Gennady and Vladimir Klitschko had it. Jose Pedraza has been having that belt for a while. The reason I bring it up is because, you know, I'm not me, but boxing is synonymous with saying that once you become a champion, you become 80% better. Well, in 2014 is when he became a champion. I remember interviewing him way back then. You can check it here on our archive, obviously. When he became the IBO champion of the world, He defends it proudly, just like Gennady, just like Vladimir.
No, sorry to interrupt you. He also has the IBF, which...
Yeah, no, but that's later. I'm just going down chronologically down his story. Okay. You know, back then when I interviewed him, he was only the IBO at the time, and he still, you know, cherished that title. And now he's gotten the IBF, right? He won that title, and he's defended it. Now this is going to be his third time. Now, listen to the names. He's faced Andriy Klimov. Now, I know Klimov doesn't have the tank power, but he's a comparable opponent. He's been in there with, I think, you could check it, MD, but I think he's been in there with Jesse Vargas, if I'm not mistaken. And then he was in there with Edna Cherry. Now, that is the fight that everyone is questioning, but what about the Michael Ferreras fight? You know, he went 12 with Ferreras. That's a guy that we've seen in there with Gamboa. You know, and on top of that, you got the Stephen Smith fight, but he went 12 with him. Now, what we're seeing is a sign, you know, of him going 12 rounds. And maybe that's what TMT is seeing and calling this one just the right time. Because not only that, in doing my research, and we're going to ask him live, that's why I woke up and I'm like, I got to get this guy on the phone. I need to know these things myself, because I seen headlines where he was saying he wanted to move up to 135. So now, are we going to have a thing where they paid him so much money that he decided to stay down and he's not going to be at 100%? Because if you read the quotes that he made to El Vocero in Puerto Rico, he says economically it made sense. And that smells like they gave me a boatload of money to defend my title against Davis. What do you think?
Well, you're asking if
never mind that. We got Monster Peace on with the champion Jose Peldraza live in Puerto Rico. Monster Peace, how are you doing this morning?
We are doing well. I have the champion here with us. Jose, ¿cómo estás?
Muy bien, gracias a Dios. Bien contento de esta oportunidad que me han dado, de esta entrevista. Así que muchas gracias.
Claro que sí, claro que sí. Matt?
Well, first and foremost, obviously, I want to let the listeners know and thank him for taking the opportunity to give us this time to interview him. You know, he is just coming out of training camp. Now, my first question off the bat, Monster, is ask him, there was headlines that he wanted to move up to 135. How can he reassure us that he is going to be 100% at 130 and after the fight, we're not going to hear stories about him struggling to make the weight, and that's why he wanted to move up, and he only did it for the money.
Okay, first, before we start, I just wanted to tell everyone that Pedraza said that he was really happy to be here today. Pedraza, Néstor quería preguntarte, que tú dijiste que quería moverte a las 135 libras. ¿Cómo nosotros vamos a estar seguros que tú vas a estar bien para las 130?
Mira, definitivamente eso fue una decisión que tomamos luego de la pelea de Smith. Era de subir a las 135 libras, pero se nos ofreció, se nos enfrentó esta oportunidad, esta oferta de defender las 130 libras con David. Y mira, decidimos aceptarla porque no por el decidimos aceptarla porque fue una gran pelea promocional. No, ¿cómo te digo? No fue por otra razón porque si nosotros hacemos las 130 libras, pero decidimos hacerla porque decidimos subir a 35 porque estábamos más cómodos, pero se nos presentó esta oportunidad y pues decidimos pedir y aceptarlas.
Gracias, Pedraza. He said that this was really a promotional reason for him to move up to 135. I mean, for him to move down to 130 and accept this opportunity to fight Tank. It was really more a bigger promotional reason. And he is comfortable at 135. He had no problem fighting at 135. But this opportunity was pretty big for them, and so promotional-wise, so therefore they decided to take it at 130.
Now, Monster, before you go, MD, just to be clear, because I don't know if the confusion is with you or him, he's actually never fought at 35. There was only headlines that he wanted to move up. So my question was more of, how are we going to be sure that he wasn't, that he's not struggling to stay at 30? He's never fought at 35, though. I was just making sure that, you know, he was going to be okay to stay at 30. But it's okay. We can move on. I just want the listeners to understand where the question was going. MD, you could jump in, and maybe we could pick it up in the end.
How's it going? This is the co-host of Boxing MD. Do you? We were talking about it earlier. That the thing that stands out in Gervonta Davis is so far is the power. Do you think that he has unique power at 130 or 126, or do you think that it's just a level of opponents that he's able to knock out?
Good question.
Okay, Pedraza, ¿todavía está con nosotros?
Sí.
La pregunta es del otro presentador que está con nosotros, se llama MD. Él dice que si tú crees que Davis tiene mucha fuerza, mucho poder en su pelea, o tú crees que el poder viene de bajo de nivel de la persona con quien él ha estado peleando, que no ha peleado nadie como tú, so, entonces ese poder no significa nada.
David, por el récord, Impresiona. Tiene un récord de 16-0 y 15 nocaut. Su récord, cualquiera que no sepa de boxeo, dice que es un pegador formidable. Pero yo entiendo que él no ha peleado con nadie de gran calibre, de un nivel alto como el de él, ni como el mío. Él siempre ha peleado con boxeadores de bajo nivel y por eso es que luce por encima y por eso es que luce impresionante. Pero, o sea, no, yo, a mí no me cabe la duda de que él es un boxeador excelente, de que es un pegador, pero el récord de él es inflado. O sea, no ha peleado con nadie.
Pedraza says that for anyone that knows boxing, know that his record looks pretty impressive. He's 16-0 with 15 KOs, and that he knows that the reason why, you know, whoever sees it who doesn't know boxing could say, oh, wow, this guy is amazing. But he never really fought at my kind of level. It would be competitive for him to fight me. However, he's a good boxer. He's not taking anything away from Davis, but that he hasn't fought anybody like him.
He also said that based on his record, his resume is inflated. It's the word he used, inflado. Oh, he said inflado, right? So, ask him, does he feel slightly disrespected by the media that has Tank as not the favorite, but you know, many in the media are picking Tank to win.
Okay, Pedraza. Uh-huh. Él te quiere preguntar que si te sientes un poco como que si te han faltado respeto de que ellos tienen a Davis como la persona que te va a ganar, como que él es que todo el mundo tiene como el favorito para ganar esta pelea. ¿Te sientes un poco como que te han faltado de respeto, sabiendo ello que tú vienes como el campeón?
Mira, no, yo no me siento como que me han faltado de respeto. Simplemente es una mala decisión de ellos exponerla a un joven con mucho talento, con mucho futuro, a llevarlo a los leones, como decimos nosotros. Pero mira, no, yo estoy seguro de que él es muy bueno, de que es muy talentoso y va a ser una pelea buena, pero lo vuelvo y repito, lo llevaron a los leones donde se le va a acabar la carrera. O sea, fue una mala decisión al tomar esta pelea.
Well, Pedraza says that it was a bad decision. He doesn't feel disrespected. He just thinks that it was a bad decision on their part to bring Tank to the Lions, because they're bringing him, pretty much they're bringing him to, you know, to the big boys, this young man who is really talented and who has potential, but they're feeding him to the Lions. And that's how he feels. He doesn't feel disrespected. That's just how he feels.
So, obviously, this fight is in Brooklyn. It's on the undercard of the Adrian Broner-Granados fight. Tank has fought in Orlando before, which has a large Puerto Rican population. Have you spoken to your management or have, I guess, desired to fight in Puerto Rico in Orlando in front of a large Puerto Rican fan base?
Well, MD, New York would be the place to be, no? I mean, New York has
fan base. For sure. He's doing Brooklyn, and is it Orlando something that he would want to do one day? I guess Monster Peace, ask him if he's ever thought about fighting or talked about fighting in Orlando because of the large Puerto Rican population.
Okay, Pedraza, él te quiere preguntar que si nunca se ha tenido un interés de pelear en Orlando, porque él dice que hay una gran comunidad de puertorriqueños. Entonces, ¿nunca te ha dado interés de pelear allá en Florida?
Mira, me encantaría pelear en Florida. A mí me encanta, pero eso no está en mí, eso está en los promotores donde ellos decidan ponerme a pelear. Pero a mí me encantaría pelear en Orlando. O sea, a mí me encantaría, como bien dijiste, hay mucha fanaticada puertorriqueña, una gran comunidad puertorriqueña allá en Orlando. Así que me gustaría dejarme conocer también allá en Orlando y me encantaría pelear.
He says basically that he would love to fight in Florida, that he understands that there is a big Puerto Rican community or a big enough Puerto Rican fan base, and that he would love to, but that's up to the promoters at that point.
Monsterpiece, ask him, obviously because of Floyd Mayweather and Mayweather Promotions, this fight has gotten so much attention that if he receives a win, he is going to be known worldwide, and I would like to know who would be his super fight. He is in the same division as Francisco Vargas, Vasyl Lomachenko, Jezreel Corrales. You know, he's got really big names. So with this win, because so many eyes will be on him, and he already having both IBO and IBF, I know this is a lot to take in, but, you know, it's just going to make him a marquee name, and he would have the opportunity to really fight whoever he wants. So I want to know, who does he want? You can obviously condense all that.
Sure. Pedraza, él quiere preguntarte que si, como esto va a ser una promoción de Mayweather, y como tú dijiste que esta oportunidad para ti fue grande por la promoción, él quiere saber, si tú ganas esta pelea, ¿quién quieres tú después de eso? Porque ya tú vas a tener muchos ojos viéndote esa noche por la promoción. ¿Quién quieres pelear después de eso, si ganas? ¿Quieres pelear a Francisco Vargas? ¿Tienes Lomachenko? ¿Tienes Desario Corrales? ¿Con quién te gustaría pelear si ganas esta pelea?
Mira, de yo quedarme en las 130 libras, me encantaría pelear con cualquiera de los campeones, Lomachenko, Francisco Vargas, Sosa, el panameño Corrales, si no me equivoco, con cualquiera de los campeones. Eso es de yo quedarme en las 130 libras, pero yo, como dije anteriormente, luego de la pelea de Smith decidimos subir a las 135 libras, pues por esta oportunidad, pues no subimos a las 135 libras, pero ahora, luego de esta pelea, pase lo que pase, obvio que voy a salir victorioso, pero pase lo que pase, voy a subir a 135 libras.
Okay. Ness, he says that he doesn't really care. He wants to fight anybody, any champion at 130-pound division. He really doesn't care. The only thing is that, you know, they did say that after the Smith fight, he did want to move up to 135, just because, like he said earlier, is where he feels comfortable. But he will fight anybody at 130 pounds. He really doesn't care. Any champion, Sosa, Vargas, or Lomachenko, you know, he doesn't care. But, you know, either way, he's still going to move up to 135.
Well, a name that is not a champion, but is a name only because it was a close fight. You could also say, I guess, Monster, that a lot of people actually had Edner Cherry winning. Would he be willing to give Edner Cherry a rematch?
No. Because he's not MD. He has me nervous how much he's saying that he wants to move up after this fight. Like, I don't even think he would take those unifications with the other champions, because he said he would fight them, but he says he already made the decision after the Smith fight that he wanted to move up. So he said,
but what if Edner Cherry is willing to move up to rematch him?
Oh, well, that's different, because he said his exact words were, regardless of outcome, I'm moving up.
Okay, so if Edner Cherry moves to the weight that you want to, fight at, are you willing to give him a rematch, although he doesn't have a belt and he's not really a name, only because the fight was close and some people had him winning? Is that a fair question?
So
Monsterpiece, the question is he willing to give Edner Cherry a rematch at his new weight of 135? But
also put in that some people had Edner Cherry winning.
A lo Pedraza, aquí la conversación que ellos tienen aquí es que ellos querían saber que con eso lo que dijiste de las 130, 135, ¿le debería la revancha a Edner Cherry en la 135?
Mira, Yo lo que estoy, yo quería, ok, yo que en las 130 libras yo quería hacer una unificatoria. O sea, esa era una de mis metas. Uh-huh. Cuestiones del peso, pues queremos subir a las 135 libras, convertirnos en campeón y lograr una unificación en las 135 libras. Es cuestión de lograr lo que hicimos en las 130 libras, lograrlo en las 135 libras. Y en el Cherry, tiene uno de los títulos de las 135 libras, con mucho gusto, yo me convertiría en campeón o yo lo retaría, como sea. Se puede lograr una revancha, él siendo campeón, yo siendo campeón, una unificatoria. Con mucho gusto le daría la revancha. Claro que sí. Obviamente tiene que ser campeón.
Okay. He says that at 130, his goal was to unify. And he wants to do the same at 135. And he understands that Anna Cherry has one of the belts at 135, so he wouldn't mind giving him that rematch.
No, he said if he has the belt, but I'm going to just sell him. Oh, yeah, Jose. Jose, yo lo que quiero dejar claro que el compañero mío, el señor negativo, yo no pienso que tú tienes que pelear con Elna Cherry. Eso es algo ya del pasado. Pero
no, yo tampoco, pero son situaciones que todo el mundo quiere escuchar, una revancha o no, ¿verdad? Pues vamos a ponerla fácil, y donde ambos podamos ganar bastante dinero. O sea, si mucha gente quiere ver una revancha, él tiene que ser campeón, donde se pueda hacer una unificatoria, y yo estoy seguro que le partiría la cara más de la que se la partí en la primera, pero tendría que ser este campeón, y ahí podemos beneficiarnos los dos, ambos.
Yo estoy seguro que no va a haber suficiente interés del público. Y más si tú ganas esta pelea, ya tu nombre va a subir a un nivel que tú no vas a tener que mirar para atrás. En mi opinión.
Definitivamente.
En mi opinión. Pero
no, yo pienso lo mismo. Yo pienso lo mismo, pero simplemente para contestarle preguntas, como tú dices, a la gente negativa, pues ahí está una respuesta.
Exactamente. All right, Monster, you want to do some of that? This has been the most untraditional interview, but go ahead, Monster. You can
no cess hablador.
Pedraza dice, I mean, he says that he doesn't really, you know, for all the negative people out there, you know, say that he needs to give him the rematch. I mean, he doesn't believe so himself. Also, as Ness was saying, to him that Ness doesn't believe that he should give him the rematch. He himself just finished saying that he doesn't believe it either, but he will go in there, he will punch him in his face, he will break his face the way he did last time, and he doesn't really care. He will give him that match, he will fight anybody, but, you know, he himself also doesn't believe that he should give anybody, but he will fight him no matter what. Like, he doesn't care. If he gets the belt that he needs, and if he becomes a champion at that belt, and he has a belt that he wants, that he will fight him.
Listen, Monster, let's Monster wrap Piece. It up. One question, Monster Piece. How do you say "don't be a suck up" in Spanish, or brown noser? What's the term for that?
Lambeojo.
Yeah. Okay. Nice.
Oye, te vendrás. Él me está diciendo que no sea un lambeojo, ya es. Pero no, quería pedirte las gracias por hacer la entrevista. Yo sé que tú estás saliendo del gimnasio ahora, so si quieres a este tiempo puedes dar tu, how you say social media, tu forma de social media.
Twitter and Instagram are universally accepted.
Yeah, right. I should have just said that.
Claro que sí, claro que sí. Mira, me pueden conseguir por Instagram. Me pueden conseguir por Instagram, sniper.pedraza, y por Twitter, sniper_pedraza. Y también okay. Me pueden conseguir una fanpage de José Sniper Pedraza de Facebook.
Okay, you can reach Instagram at sniper.pedraza. You can reach him on Twitter on Jose_pedraza and also on Facebook. Come on to Facebook, Twitter?
En la fanpage, Jose Sniper Pedraza.
Como, perdón, no lo puedo decir.
Jose Sniper Pedraza. La fan page for Facebook.
The fan page on Facebook is Jose Sniper Pedraza.
All right, Monster. Thank you so much. You are the best. And tell Jose, you are the best too. Thank you so much. We wish you the best of luck. And I'll see you in New York, actually. All right, Monster. Thank you.
Hello, Jose.
Man, that was pretty good. I know that it got a little untraditional because we end up being conversational, he and I, simply because MD, I just want to kind of retranslate a little bit of what was said between he and I, because Monsterpiece did a wonderful job, but there were some things.
I know what you said, Tim. I understand pretty much.
I know that you understand. Before our listeners, I was just making it clear that my host is Mr. Negative, and I don't necessarily.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And this is you were, and that's why. And that's why I said, how do you say brown nosing or sucking up in Spanish? Right? Because
let me talk. I literally said, my host is Mr. Negative. I don't personally feel you need to give Edna Cherry a rematch because of the significance of this fight. If you win this fight on this stage, your name will be on a different level where you won't need to look backwards. That's literally what I said. I'm pretty good at remembering that shit, damn. So, you know, it's not that I don't believe in rematches. I just think that once he fights this guy on this stage, if he wins, you know, he's going to have the eyes on him. Let me see if Monsterpiece is there and wants to say something before she goes back into work. You guys better love Monsterpiece, all right? Monster, you there or are you still chatting it up?
I'm here.
You all done with Pedraza? You want to say a few words since you were able to?
I am.
They said his Ness calling his MD calling us an ass kisser. What happened?
The only thing I would like to say to all the real Spanish speaking audience that we have out there, I never thought that translating was gonna be that hard. I'm gonna take back everything I said about the guy that translated on HBO. I used to talk so much shit. Used to say that he's the worst translator in the world, but it's not really that easy when you're really under pressure. You got to really condense it down.
It's a lot to remember. Like even when Ness speaks English.
Yeah,
and he speaks in a paragraph.
The thing is that I'm not good. My questions are paragraphs. So I do apologize.
So yeah. Am I. I'm long-winded.
No, it's all right. It's not so much when you ask the question that is the problem, because when you're translating from English to Spanish, it's not as hard. It's when you're translating from Spanish to English that does become a little bit kind of tricky, because Spanish has different phrases and way of saying things that is not that very easy to understand in the English language if you translate it exactly. So it does become a little bit kind of tricky, but no, I mean, it was fun. I would love to do that again 100 million times. I would do that again.
Don't worry.
Who else is Spanish that we need to get up in here?
No, don't worry. Don't worry. Listen, yeah, now that
there's some people.
Yo, get Canelo on the line.
Yo, listen, now that you've now that you spread your wings, we will give Verdejo. We'll get Francisco Vargas. We'll get Canelo. We could get Gilberto Ramirez.
Oh my God, let's get
Ramirez.
We get Canelo. Can I tell him in Spanish that he ain't shit?
No, because I didn't even tell MD what you sent me. She was like, tell MD that I'm not gonna translate any left field questions. But here she is wanting to tell Canelo he ain't shit. Mm-hmm.
No, wait. Before we hang up, I just want to let you guys know that Pedraza said that he would be here on January 10th. That's where you'll be covering the
weigh-ins. Hell yeah. You know I will be.
Well, he's going to be definitely looking around to see you guys. So definitely give him a call and let him know that you are definitely going to be there. I would love to be there too since I spoke to him. So let me know so I can take my day off.
No, definitely. Definitely. You tell me what day works for you and I will go specifically on that day. Now, I'll be honest with you. If he gets in for fight week, the best day for us to go is usually the Wednesday, which is media fight day. They're more accessible. It's usually in a gym. The environment is better. you know, and then you and I, we can do some video. You and him, you can interview him on camera.
Hey, Monster, before you leave, just give us your quick.
Work. I am not doing camera.
Whatever.
Work.
I'm going to have a camera on you. I'm going to have a camera on you. It's over.
Yeah, Monster, before you get back to work, can you just give us your quick thought about the fight itself?
Yes. What are your thoughts about the fight? Because, you know, wait. Don't before. I got to interrupt you because this is her thing. The minute she schedules a guy, she loves him. So let's see if she's going to pick against him.
I'm being not in 2017. I'm being nicer to Monster. So you said that, not me.
That's the way you network, man. You gotta always, you know, you gotta always make them feel like, you know, like, oh, they appreciate me. This is awesome. No, let me be honest about the whole Tank and Pedraza fight. I like Pedraza and I also like Tank, but the last fight that I saw from Tank, and this is not anything recent or anything like that, but the last fight that I saw him in, or that I remember seeing him in, he seemed to have a lot of issues on trying to knock out his fighter. I saw that in the
Was that the Avila fight?
I'm sorry, from the top of my head. I can't remember. I know Mayweather was there. He was trying to give him directions, even though he wasn't already there with his trainer.
That could be the Avila fight or the Luis Sanchez fight. I watched them both, and I know what you're talking about. He kept looking into the stands.
Sanchez one.
Yes. Especially in that Sanchez fan.
He was looking really, he was looking like he was smothering a little bit. His punches, it was just not clean as you would expect him to look. And Pedraza did say something that had me thinking, had me going, you know, he said, you know, and I'm going to repeat it. He said that they're feeding that kid to the wolves. Like they're bringing him in with the big boys. And that was the mistake they made. So if people want to look at Pedraza like the underdog, they're highly mistaken because he's a young man with potential, according to Pedraza.
Well, and it is also important to note
that
although a lot of people in the boxing media and I guess people in the gym have been picking Davis, Pedraza is the favorite as far as every single betting site goes. Not heavy favorite, but...
What is he, 2-1?
A little bit less than 2-1.
Hey, Monster. Yeah. Again, I just want to thank you for doing this on your lunch break or taking your lunch break at this time.
Absolutely.
You know, you're the bestest.
Absolutely.
But
Thank you, everybody.
Go ahead.
No, thank you, everybody. Definitely stay tuned to more interviews, and everyone have a great afternoon.
All right. Don't worry, Monster. Pretty soon you're going to be patching through Peter Fury. We're going to do big things 2017. You see, you know, I always took a back seat to the interviews because it's so, you know, demanding. You know, connecting them, the call dropping, texting, scheduling.
Well, I think
got the producer.
Although Monsterpiece doesn't like my left field questions, I think that some boxers, not all boxers, but some boxers don't necessarily have, because boxing is a different type of sport where you're not necessarily coached from a child in how to, you know, handle yourself in the media. Whereas, you know, you play basketball, whether it be high school, college, and NBA, you have people to tell you how to interact with the media. So a lot of these guys aren't comfortable giving interviews. So you have to ask sometimes questions to get emotion out of the boxers, because sometimes it's a guy, I like this, I like that, I like it. You know, it's kind of monotone. But some guys, it's excellent. Like when, you know, when we get on, you know, especially like a trainer, like a guy who we're close with, and what's his name?
We got Rozier.
What?
Rozier.
Yep, someone like him, who's been on camera forever, and you know has a, you know, personality. Or if we get someone like, no offense to him, who's that tall guy who got knocked out? He's from Minnesota.
Minnesota. Boxer?
Yes. Tall, skinny. I've seen him fight before in the PBC.
Oh, Jamal James.
Exactly. You know, you get him.
Yeah. So what I want to do is ask everyone that if you're listening, hit the thumbs up for TBV getting this live guest, Jose Pedraza, IBF champion, who's going to be defending his title versus Gervonta Davis on Mayweather Promoted Barclays Center card January 14th. Hit the thumbs up. We're going to go back to discussing this one because now that we interviewed him, I'm nervous. I mean, I don't know how good your Spanish is, MD, but he sounds very serious about next fight, 135. There's nothing that could be done.
That's not good then.
Exactly. Like, does that, can he make this weight safely?
Safely, or safely
where we get 100% Pedraza when he's going up against Tank Davis?
I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna say no.
Really? Based off that?
Why would he be so wanting to? If he had no problem fight, yeah. If he was like, fuck it, I want the biggest fight either at 130 or 135 because I can make either weight easily. But now he's saying that he feels. But why would you feel better at 135 if you feel perfect at 130? Better means something is inferior. So he probably is going to be a little weight trained, which against a heavy-handed puncher, maybe we'll have a bigger level of impact. And obviously, being weight drained affects your cardio as well. Punch resistance and cardio are two things that are heavily depleted when you are weight drained. Now, I assume he's going to be able to make it because he seems like a professional, but I do question him being 100%. So that is definitely something that has me, if I was picking Jose Pedraza, I would be make me a little weary, you know, a little more weary, I would say.
Hopefully, I don't know. I contacted Tevin Farmer.
Because he's about to switch his pick on air. Nestor Gage.
No. I got to be consistent. Experience means something. Tank looks good. But I want to know how many fighters would look good given the same opportunity. Given the same Mayweather spotlight. Given the same level of opposition. You know, again, these guys that he beat, other guys have done it too. Similar fashion, if not better. You know, Michael Perez knocked out somebody Tank knocked out in three rounds quicker. Michael Perez, who's not known to be a puncher. Michael Perez, who lost to Omar Figueroa like he couldn't take, you know, the pressure. That Michael Perez, who just lost to Peter Petrov in a tough fight. But he's not known to be a puncher. So this is what I'm saying. I don't want to get confused or be, you know, led astray on this power. Like, these guys. Now, I've ranked.
It's more than just power, though.
I ranked there
he's
is.
He's not a cave. Right. He's not a caveman that just as a flat-footed fighter and just knocks people out.
You're right, and I'm so happy you said that because I didn't want to go down that path, you know? He's very athletic. How athletic is he? Do you see how he stays in? He's very gifted defensively, too. Like you said earlier, he takes shots, but I think that the amount of shots, I wonder what the CompuBox are on that. Like maybe you're seeing him take, because in the Sanchez fight, he did take a few uppercuts, but like
it was mental. He takes shots because I think that he's so talented as an athlete that when he sees a guy either take his shots or not be there that his shots could land as flush, which what Monster is describing, I kind of remember. I don't know exactly what fight that was, that he mentally seemed to have a lapse. So I don't think it's necessarily what he lacks as a boxer. Well, I think it's is he no jab.
In that lapse.
That is very true.
In that lapse, he didn't resort to a jab. Now, Pedraza is a boxer, pure boxer and a mover. Now, what I'm afraid of, I don't know if I'm going to be, I'm probably going to get hate for this or they're going to, you know, I don't know. I don't want to use the word historically, but is it me or sometimes Puerto Rican fighters tend to fold under pressure and Tank is a very aggressive fighter. He's aggressive and he's a dog. Listen, he shakes over you. He doesn't do the Muhammad Ali stepping over you. No, he fucking did the Mayweather and he shimmied his balls in front of the dude's face he dropped in front of another guy. You know, he did another dance. This is not a kid that is nice. He wants to make you look bad. And he goes in there to hurt you. He's not because that's why he doesn't use the jab. If you check, his stance is so wide, he's always ready to counter, which he does with the left. Now, because Pedraza is a southpaw, he's subject to getting hit with Tank's left all day. Now, you think to yourself, well, Pedraza's been hit by so many people, but I don't see anyone, right? Like, if we want to believe Tank's power is real, well, then I don't see anyone who has the well, I guess, I don't know. I mean, Tank has like, you know, he's got that really good explosive power, like you said. I guess the only comparable opponents in terms of power are Ferenas and Cherry. Tevin Farmer is a slick fighter, so that's just for all you guys out there who think that Gravante is so slick and so athletic like MD. Well, how slick and athletic is Tevin Farmer? And he stopped Tevin Farmer.
Did not use the word slick.
I'm using the word slick because Tank is slick, Farmer's slick. Tank is slick.
He's athletic. I think he's pretty athletic. Well, maybe he's a little slick.
The way he stays in the pocket and rolls this, like,
no, you know, he's kind of slick.
Yeah. Fighter too, because that left, he can fucking turn that left so short and make it an uppercut, make it a hook, make it.
But
a
for me, but for me, right? Because we define and we always get this mixed up sometimes when people call, not you, but like people like Enrique would call Sean Porter slick. They mistake athleticism from slickness. And to me, it's really hard because what I view as a slick fighter, someone like Rigondeaux, Lomachenko, Floyd Mayweather, what do they all have in their game? A jab.
Yeah.
So I think that part of being slick is being fundamentally sound with rhythm and athleticism. And I think Tank Davis is somewhat slick, but I think he's more athletic with the ability to be slick if he gets it, you know, taken down, right?
I'm not, it's not early. This fight's about, I don't know, 10 days out now. I'm fairly confident. I'm going to stick with Pedraza, even though now I'm worried with the weight, but experience, he has a lot of it. There's just so many fights that you can't ignore that he's been in there very early on, you know, practicing his craft. You know, that Tevin Farmer win, even the Gabriel Tomayon win, you know, Farinas, Klimov, Cherry, Smith. Yo, he's seen styles, man. He's seen styles. This kid, you know, we'll see, though. We'll see what Tank has, right? Like, I'm just wondering, because if Tank was as good as Rigondeaux, as good as Lomachenko, as good as any fighter that gets early title shots, you know, because he's a Floyd Mayweather protege, right? So he's trying to follow in the footsteps of Floyd and get an early title shot. Look at Anthony Joshua, right? Early title shot. But we've been hearing about those guys that are going to get early title shots. We hear about them before it doesn't just come out of the blue. And okay, let's not forget this. Let's not masquerade this in something where Mayweather believes this guy is great, because Tank verbally was on social media, MD. You wanted to do a show specifically on it. He was on social media not happy with Mayweather Promotions, saying he wanted a title shot. So maybe it's Tank that sees that he's ready and not necessarily Mayweather Promotions and Floyd Mayweather. And they're just doing it because they're at a point with this guy where it's like, yo, you're going to go out there in social media and shame us. Well, fine. We'll get you what you want. Here's your title shot. But I'm not saying they're serving them up either, because if you're going to give them a title shot, think about those names. Jezreel Corrales, you know, Francisco Vargas and Lomachenko. If you're going to give them a title shot, well, then you ain't do too bad as a promoter getting him Jose Pedraza, because Pedraza is not a one punch puncher. Well, yeah, knockout artist. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and he's also not as technically proficient as someone like Lomachenko. But I'm picking Tank Davis in this fight. And I'm actually picking Tank Davis by knockout.
Whoa.
Yep. I think that it might take him a few rounds, and he might look bad in a few rounds and getting outboxed. looking kind of actually, I guess, like a deer in the headlights in the beginning of his fights, because I think sometimes it does take him a little bit longer than what we'd expect to see in a potential superstar to get the guy's timing right. Whereas someone like Terrence Crawford, we see him do little subtle things. And even if he, you know, who's the fight that he lost a few rounds? Terrence Crawford lost a few rounds in the beginning of the fight. Who was that against?
Maybe Gamboa?
No. When he moved up. I think he's Cuban. Not Cuban. He's a Latin American guy.
Terrence Crawford?
Yeah. He
fought Derry Jean. Before that, I think it was probably like Hank Lundy. Then somewhere in there was Victor Postal, Gamboa. I don't remember. I'm going to have to check him. I'm going to go out and look him up.
Maybe someone in the chat.
What's your point? Get to your point. And I'll...
My point is that even when Crawford is not winning, not Hank Lundy. My God, it's really the point I'm trying to make is that you see
Delorme, Thomas Delorme.
Exactly, Thomas Delorme. I saw subtle things in which he was getting closer with the timing. He was getting a little closer. Maybe the punches weren't landing, but his feet were closer. And he looked the part, which is what the eye test is. And he never looked bad. He lost a few rounds, but I wasn't worried about him losing that fight because I saw what was coming because of the confidence and the pedigree and everything else that he provides. But Tank won't look like that. Tank will look bad in the beginning of the fight, but I'm convinced that, including the weight training, that he will time him and he will hurt him. I don't think it's going to be necessarily a one-punch knockout, but I think he's going to be able to stop him, probably later in the fight.
I'm going to look so good. I think you're all wrong, man. I think Pedraza's all wrong for Tank. We never seen him have to cut the ring off. He hasn't faced anybody like Pedraza. Pedraza's a mover. Pedraza was on his game with Smith. He showed that. He dropped Smith late. You know, because he doesn't have Tank highlight reel knockouts, he got power. Respect me, power, because I didn't see Cherry bulldozing him over. You know what I'm saying? And Cherry has a chin. You know, so he didn't go down. But we don't know what type of chin Tank has. You know, we seen fucking Luis Sanchez, Kell Brook, Gennady Golovkin uppercut Gravante twice in that fight. Let's see what Pedraza could do, who uses his jab well, uses his feet well. What I don't like is that sometimes he gets low. He likes to sway a lot. His side-to-side movement, you know, he likes to sway, but he stays too low. He gives up his height because he's tall. You know, he's 5'8 and a half. Tank is shorter than him. And Pedraza has the longer reach, you know. And again, the experience. He's outboxed a lot of people. That's what he does. Box. Ferreira's had overhand right power. Edna Cherry's name is Cherry Bomb. Plus, he was on a resurgence with Keith Thurman's trainer. I remember when I told y'all that Pedraza was fighting this guy. I said, don't sleep on this fight. And look, it's a controversial win for Pedraza. So he was able to stand up to that power. Listen, let's take some calls. We're going to go.
Before you take a call, and it's a great point that you brought up, that when you get low sometimes, right, when you get low,
you let
off balance.
Open.
You're off balance and you're open. For what Tank does is he, with that left, he throws the uppercut too. So yes. I think.
Yes, that left, he uses it over, under, and looping to the, you know, like a body shot, even though he's southpaw. So, but that's my thing with a jab. See, no one is giving him a jab. And the people that try to jab him, they're not gifted enough physically. Pedraza is a good mover. Go watch him. He's like a fucking, you know, ballerina. And if not, no, that's wrong analogy. Maybe like an ice skater, you know, how to use the whole arena and shit. And then like it glides. Yo, he's pretty mobile in there. I just, again, don't like that he gets slow. And
he might be slicker than Gervonta Davis.
Might be slicker than Gervonta. Yeah, hell yeah. He's just, yeah,
so that's like,
he's
that's
not getting the hype because he doesn't have the power. But again, we don't know. Where's my fucking Kanye? Where you at when I need you? We don't know.
But slickness doesn't always mean that you're going to become a great pro because, I mean, look what happened to Saddam Ali.
Yo, and remember, you know, Tank wants the fame. He wants he needs the money. Remember, he's been social about, you know, wanting to move his family and his friends out of the hood. You know what I'm saying? So maybe he's believing in his own ambition a little too much. We don't know. We know what we know, and that socially, on social media, he was basically, you know, expressing anger that he wasn't getting the shots that he wanted. This is unprecedented. Again,
he was biting the hand that feeds him.
But it's still unprecedented. When we see fighters get title shots at this level, we know them amateurly. You know, their amateur background. They have this pedigree. They have publicists. Everybody's pumping them. You know what I'm saying? They're pumping them. We didn't hear about Tank. He came out of nowhere. Now, I knew Tank because I'm deeply involved in the DMV area boxing circuit. You know, we got, you know, Juan Marshall over there always giving us tips, you know, that just like we knew about Jarrett Hurd a long time ago and all the Russells, you know, it's because we stay over there. But it's not like he was, I mean, don't get me wrong. Now, you know that because he's in that area, he's known in terms of boxers, right? Like, he spars with Broner and Rashid Warren and all the headbangers, everybody, Petersons, both brothers, Lamont and Anthony, you know, Boog's young son, the Pratt sons, you know, it's just so much talent up there. Dustin,
that's what I'm saying. He's sparred guys who are better than Pedraza and bigger.
Maybe. And then, you know, he's going to
Peterson's not better than Pedraza. No offense to Pedraza.
Has he sparred guys? Maybe he sparred guys that are better than Pedraza, but he hasn't fought guys that are better than Pedraza.
Without headgear, without the gloves, I understand, yeah.
You know, and sparring is one. Let's open up the phone lines. We've been chopping it up. We're going to go to the Scala from New York City. Suleiman, talk to us.
Yeah, how you doing, this? This Mr. Pedraza is a gentleman. The way he speaks there, speaks very eloquently. I think it's a level right there. Gervonta Davis is not his level right now. I think he just, you know, going too quick with his career, and his management and his promotion made a bad decision because it's going to show. This guy's going to box. I'm really surprised he stopped him by late round stoppage or unanimous decision because he's too short. He's too green for a world class fighter like that. And the show is becoming much better, you know. Boxing, the Boxing Voice is putting a better product right now. It's very, you got guest boxing champions on the show. That's fantastic. That's great. I don't have nothing else to say. I'm speechless.
Do you think Pedraza uses the double one back?
Yeah, we appreciate those kind words, man. That definitely means something. And that's what we are working here. And the Boxing Voice definitely to give you guys a better product. 2017, like I said, we're not only going to give you our opinion, we're going to always try and get someone close. Like I said, I reached out to Tevin Farmer, and I reached out to the trainer of Jason Sosa and Tevin Farmer, Chino Rivas, because, you know, they were in negotiations with Tank. So, you know, he loves to watch tape. You know, Jason Sosa spars with that DMV Philadelphia area. So I wanted to see what we could have learned. I really wanted to get us an insight, and that's what we're going to try and do. No more are we just going to preview a fight with our own opinion. We're going to get some experts in, maybe Ronnie Shields, maybe an Al Bernstein, whoever, we don't know. Tell us in the chat.
Is Suleiman still there? I just have a question. It's not the double angle.
He hung up.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to know because he's so, you know, big on like gym stuff. Like, you know, even though he's not on that level, there's that level of sparring. Like, this is the thing. I mean, this, I'm asking this in general. Sometimes a pro hasn't really shown the progression in the way that we want to see a pro, where taking baby steps up to become a world champion, right? But the level of sparring that Tank gets, do you think sometimes that makes up for the lack of I guess baby steps, right? And sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. So we'll see, right?
I don't know. Because, you know, while I don't know, I'm going to just stay with that. I'm going to say I don't know, because everybody that he's sparring isn't a world champion. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Or hasn't gotten to that level. You know, it's just the environment, though. You know, all that male testosterone, all that competition, you know, amongst your brothers. That pushes you to the limit. I was watching sparring a Tank too, man. I've been, he's good. He is, but it's the left. I mean, he fought some dude in sparring, some tall dude. But again, he can be shelled up if you put activity in front of him. We'll see what the streets say.
Mental. He just needs to get his mental game, which is easier said than done, because obviously boxing is largely a mental game. So it's not something physical that he needs to beat Pedraza. It's going to be up to his mental game.
And this is why I want these shows, because I don't want to just hear, yeah, I'm going Tank Davis. Why? You see the way I'm saying that I like that Pedraza sways at the hips, but I don't like that he ducks too low. You see the way that I like that, he throws the jab, and I'm being specific about things that he's done and fights that I've watched. I'm tired of these dudes who come on here and pick, you know, pull a pick out their ass and then, you know, don't call for 2 months. No, we've separated. We're still going to take your picks again, you know, on Thursday.
And also the other thing is,
I want to hear your thoughts here. I want to hear why Davis is going to win.
And also another thing that we're going to start doing, because we like calling a spade, if you always pick the underdog and then you get right in an underdog, you don't have the right to brag.
I know. Can't pick.
You do not have the right to brag.
And just because you pick one out of 100, all of a sudden you're the champ. I mean, talk to us, brother.
Yo, great interview with Pedraza. Enjoyed it. You know, I got to go back and look at some more footage on Davis, because I agree that he's athletic. I just think Pedraza is too experienced for him. I mean, power can equalize anything. But damn, I just don't think he has the experience to get in there with Pedraza. I mean, I heard you guys mention that maybe he can show Pedraza something that Pedraza hasn't faced before. True. But, you know, and I'm not doubting the experience of the other boxers in that area, and that's, I'm just thinking to myself, the fights that I've seen of Pedraza, he can outwork his opponents, and I'm not sure if Davis is cut out for that long run, that deep water. If Pedraza can avoid, and I'm not making a pick.
I mean, he's only gone 9 rounds once, 6 rounds twice. Mm-hmm. He's got to be getting Davis 30 rounds of sparring every day to compensate, bro. So we don't know.
He really does.
Where is Kanye at? We don't know if this guy could go 12 rounds. This is a championship fight now.
We don't know.
You don't got the answers, Ness. You don't got the answers.
I got that soundbite too.
Well, I mean, let me ask you a question. Does the weight draining aspect have any effect on it? Does it have any effect on your confidence in Pedraza?
I mean, if anything, I mean, listen, I thought you was going the other way, MD, because I'm thinking with all that muscle Davis usually packs on, you know, that quick burst of muscle, it don't do you any good. Plus, the more muscular you are, you kill your range of motion. So, yeah, he's got power, but he's built wrong. He's built wrong like Sean Porter is built wrong. They're in good shape for football and maybe some other sports, but for boxing, not so much. And I just don't think.
But he's fighting at 130 pounds, though.
Boxer like Pedraza.
Yeah, so that means they're both struggling, MD. You keep making it seem like it's just Pedraza. Like, when's the last time Gervonta's been at 130? He's got to make 129 and a quarter or some shit like that.
No, because he's never.
Yeah, heavier than fat.
Yo, of course, but what they do sometimes is when you don't have a title, they don't, I guess, force you to do.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So
you're right about that. They let you know when you're not campaigning for a title, you can negotiate fluctuation weights, but that still doesn't take away from the fact that he's never been within that weight. You know, the last time, if you want to say when's the last time he's been there, he was a pound and a quarter away from it. In 2016, but that was back in April of 2016. That's a long time ago.
And I think that I hear what you're saying about him being short in the Sean Porter, which is why I think that if he goes anything above 135 pounds, because of his frame, he will have the same issues. Because maybe the power won't be up there. So it's hard when a boxer has, I don't know, his arms. But you're really limited when you have short arms as a boxer.
Let me see if they send me away. I'm going to text. Yeah.
But Tim Bradley had a – but then again, Tim Bradley's had a Hall of Fame career, borderline Hall of Fame career, with a muscle-bound short arms boxer. He just is not able to get the power. He just has something in him that's – you know, he's able to win Desert Storm, you know?
He's a unicorn, MD. He's the only one that we could think of with that much of a muscular – I mean, AJ's doing it at a heavyweight. But since you're right, since Bradley, we never seen a guy with such a muscular build that can even outlast his opponents. Because with all that fitness too, Bradley's ripped, but he can outlast people, you know? And that's determination more than it is the actual health. And
yo, this dude bringing up Bradley makes no sense. Bringing up Bradley, Bradley's proven he's gone 12 rounds because he didn't have the power. So
no, the analogy just went above your head. We're talking about the physique and frame.
I know, but
to say it doesn't make sense is illogical.
Because his muscle has been proven to be durable and last 12 rounds throughout his career. Like we know that muscle hasn't hindered him. Basically, is what you're saying that because you got big muscles, you might lose stamina because oxygen and. All right, but for Bradley, it ain't never worked out.
It's not just stamina. I think it's more than stamina. It's you're physically – in other words, we talk about being slick. It's hard being slick when you have shorter limbs and you have more muscle because as a boxer, you could sacrifice some of the size with quickness, agility, and dexterity. And – what the analogy is saying that Tim Bradley, with all of those physical attributes, like Amin said, is the unicorn because obviously he's had success. Yes, he's proven, but that's, I think, where the analogy comes into place.
Well, FYI, he has an extremely long reach for his short size. 904, you're up.
Oh, what up, man?
What's going on, brother? Who's this? No producer, man. Don't feel bad. No producer.
I'm not a fan, but I just want to get my take on the Jose Pedraza fight and Devontae Davis. And for me, man, I just want to go for Javante. I haven't seen a lot from Pedraza. I've seen a little bit on him. He fought on Showtime a couple of times. I actually use him on my show streak, like where you win the prizes if you bet on Showtime fighter. But I was like, I don't know, man. I was in a mix of trying to figure out, man, if I'm going to bet on this dude because I wanted to bet all my stakes on Javante Davis, you know, when I was going to bet 1,000 actually on him to win against Jose Pedraza.
No. It's not a fight I'd want to put money on, even though I'm picking Tank Davis. I think that you will be really disappointed watching a guy.
I didn't do it, but.
I'm telling you not to do it. I don't trust that this pick enough because, like I said, the mental issue is big enough that you will be really frustrated and disappointed watching a less athletic, maybe even a less talented boxer beat a guy who may have mental breakdown in the fight. So I do not advise you to bet on this fight.
Well, are you referring to Pedraza or Javante?
You said you wanted to put money on Javante.
I wanted to put money on him. I was just saying, like, I felt like he was, like, he was that type of class of fighter, but he is new. So I don't know what type of adversity, like, does he succumb to pressure and stuff like that? I haven't seen
him. Exactly. The question mark, like I said, the question mark is too large for me to put money on it. Even though I'm picking Javante Davis to win and by knockout, I think that when you bet, it just needs to be a little more – like for me, maybe you can be more confident, but for me, I'm not confident enough in this pick because of, like I said, the mental lapses that he may show. And me, myself, watching this fight, it would be really disappointing seeing that. So I'm going to advise no.
904, let me get to some other callers, brother. Thank you for calling in. If you guys are enjoying the show and you enjoyed our guest, Jose Pedraza, IBF champion, who's going to be defending versus Gervonta Davis, Mayweather's own protege, hit that thumbs up button. Show your love around here. Hit that thumbs up button for Monsterpiece taking off on her little lunch break to get that guest all the way from Puerto Rico. Let me get to, it looks like we got some alumni. Always good to get them on.
I told y'all a long time ago. Kirkland will go down 3 rounds. Right hand. Now goes
Kirkland. Strap me up. Next, I got milk, baby.
What's up? What's up, Boxing Voice?
Milkman, what's going on, brother?
Nothing much, man. Y'all was doing it with the content, baby. I'm like a crackhead, baby. I can't get enough, man. I'm on the glass dick.
That's how we love it.
Hey, man, check it out. So,
we give out knee pads to Patreon members. You know what I mean?
He's a Patreon. Don't worry.
I'm Patreon, baby. How old is he, man? I'm in, man. Y'all can have my money, man. Take it, please. You know, a couple of things about this fight. You know who Tank reminds me of? He reminds me of a Southpaw Andre Berto. His slickness, I wouldn't say he's really slick. I would say he's explosive, right? Kind of the same thing with Andre Berto. I think his athleticism kind of makes him look more slick than what he is. Pedraza is a slick boxer. He gets a bit too low at times. He's a rangy guy, but he does get down a little too low at times, kind of like how Paul Williams used to kind of like give up his height when he would get down a bit too low. I think Pedraza's and Tank's skills are close. You know, I can't lie. I think from the eye test, I think they're pretty close. So with that being said, I think I would have to lean towards Pedraza on this fight just because of the resume. He's been in there with better competition. And I think he just has the better experience. Now, y'all mentioned something about weight. What's going on with the weight?
Well, Tank has it fall at 130 ever. Okay. He's never been at 130. Let me see if I'm correct on that. He's been under 130 back in 2015, but in May of 2015, he went to 132, and then, you know, he's never looked back. Like, the lowest he's been since, like, he went up to 134.5, been up to 135.5, but in 2016 of April, he was 131, right? But then he had another fight in June of 2016, and he was 135.5. So, like, he left off at 135 and went through the holidays for almost, you know, half a year or more.
Yeah, that's concerning to me.
Wait a minute, Milkman. I don't know if you heard, Pedraza, we had him live on the show, and he said, win or lose, even though I will win, I'm moving up. I said I wanted to move up to 135 after the Smith win, but because this opportunity came along, because this is a big promotion with the Mayweather promotions, I stood at 130. But after this fight, regardless of outcome, I'm going to 135. So that has me concerned. Is he going to be safely making this 130?
Well, you know what? Since we don't know, let's go ahead and call it even on both sides, okay? So that way we'll still lean Pedraza just based on experience. If both of them are going to be kind of fucked up from the weight, more or less, let's go with the more experienced guy. I think he may have faced this issue before in the past, and he'll know how to feel, and he'll know what he needs to do to win. So let's go with Pedraza. Put me down, man. On the spreadsheet.
Oh, no, Pedraza. No. Spreadsheet is Thursday, baby. This is – we want to know – today is for you to tell us why Pedraza will do it. Now, you have already mentioned the resume and the experience – but is there anything stylistically that you think is going to be the main issue?
Yeah, I think Pedraza is a little more slick than people give him credit for. I think Tank is he's not going to be able to hit him that easy. I think Pedraza has good movement, Puerto Rican boxer, you know, just based on the amateur background. So I'm rolling with the draws on that.
But Ness, but how do you feel? Well, two things I want to say before you go, and this might change your pick, right? The first thing is that a lot of the PBC fights are not made months and months and months in advance, especially when they're formulating an undercard. So I think that's also important to keep in mind. Maybe he's given 4 weeks notice or 3 weeks notice, and he's like, I'm not going to cut that much weight. We're not going to force you to cut that much weight, considering that you're not fighting for an eliminator or a title, that you're only a prospect. So I think that's another factor, because we, like I said, we've seen guys get calls for 3 or 4 weeks in advance. So that's a factor. And do you also give credence in Ness's controversial statement about Puerto Rican fighters deteriorating under pressure?
Hey, man. Yo, if you pick some fights, if you go back through some of these fights historically, you know, I mean, look, some people say that the Cotto thing, we don't know because of the margarita, but the fact of the matter, it happened. you know. Just go.
Trinidad went up 2 weight classes, man, when he fought Hopkins. I mean, we really can't count that shit.
Yeah, but he was tough mentally, but like you said, the Hopkins thing still happened, and he got dropped a lot. He got dropped a lot in his career. But you see, Pandraza's been dropping people. I'm telling you, Tank might be surprised by the amount of power. But listen, Milkman, got to get to some other callers. Thank you, as always. If you want to be like Milkman and you want to love the content and support TBV, support us on Patreon. Check us out there. We got more exclusive content never seen before. We're going to go to 404. You're live. We want to know your fight preview of this particular matchup between Jose Pandraza and Gervonta Davis. Who you picking and why? 404. 404. Go on once.
Well, before you go on to the next caller, because this guy's what, you know, he kept his hand in his pocket. Does that make sense about the last minute, you know, the last minute replacement stuff? Because we've seen, again, like how the fights get put together.
No, MD, it makes total sense. I told you that before. But what doesn't make sense is not being within that weight in such a long time span.
It's not that long.
The last time he's been 130 is when?
Yo,
you say 1.25 pounds isn't nothing except when, you know, I don't know, Canelo needs to make 154, right? So coming in at 153 is tough. Or when he had to make 152. So 1.25 pounds is tough.
He's going to cut weight for sure. But has Gervonta Davis said that he wants to campaign at 135?
Yo, check this out. Check this out. In 2015, you seen how active he was. And even with all that activity, fighting every freaking couple of months, he still didn't stay at the weight.
I know, but I think up to
35.
But you cut weight and you put weight on back. I mean, listen. This is all speculative. I just think.
Why are you making it a big deal? It is what it is.
Correct. You're calling it a push. You're calling it a push, and I'm saying that Pedraza will have a bigger issue with the weight.
We'll see. They both got to go down, is what it looks like to me. We're gonna go to Donald in Richmond, California. Talk to me, Donald.
What's up, y'all? I like Tank, so I'm going to have to go with Tank on this. I feel like Pedraza, he has some respectable power, but if we look at power-wise, Gervonta has the more power, although he really hasn't really went like 12 rounds before. But we also know a lot of times that you have some boxers out there who never really went 12 rounds, and then we question them. And then when we see them get into a 12-round fight, sometimes it's either sink or swim. You know, like a lot of people thought that Deontay Wilder couldn't do 12 rounds. And then when he went with Bermain Stiverne, everybody was like, wow, he could do 12 rounds. But he had never really went 12 rounds before. So that's just a good example. And hopefully Tank will come out like that. But I think that I think
Kovalev's an excellent example as well.
Huh?
I would say Kovalev's an excellent example, but he had an issue going 12 rounds cardio-wise against Ward, so maybe I take that back.
Yeah. Well, I think, and then like how you guys said, you know, it sounds like Pedraza has more of a issue on the weight because he's talking about going up. Is that what you guys were saying, right?
Well, we're speculating. We're speculating because he's so, you know, persistent on moving up after this fight, regardless of outcome. We're speculating: is it going to be difficult to make this weight?
Well, then that's exactly what that means. That means that it's exactly difficult for him to make the weight. Just like the Trollo was saying, you know, he wants to go up to 160, and he's like, I really don't want another fight at 154 unless it's a really big fight. I unify with Canelo, but other than that, now I'm going to 160 because that speculates that you're having trouble making the weight. So if we're talking about weight issues here, looks like Pedraza is going to be the one having more issues with the weight versus Gervonta Davis. I think he's going to be more comfortable at that weight than Pedraza. But like I said, I got to go with Gervonta Davis. I feel like he's going to hurt Pedraza in the fight, you know, and I feel like that if Gervonta Davis wins, it's going to be by a knockout or a stoppage. I don't see Gervonta Davis going the whole 12 and winning by decision, because if he doesn't get the knockout, And if he does have light issues with going the distance, he'll probably lose because in the later rounds, he'll tire out because he put out too much power in the earlier rounds. So I see it either being Gervonta by a knockout or Peraza by a decision. You know, that's just the way I see it going. I don't really see Gervonta winning by decision, and I don't really see Peraza winning by a knockout. Do you guys understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but could you see the knockout? Like what I see kind of is, obviously I'm speculating, and I see the knockout coming a little later because I see him actually being down on the scorecards. Sixth round, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it might be a little later than that. Yeah, I hear you. I think it might be. I wouldn't be surprised, but I think it'll be a little later than that. And I won't be surprised if the scorecards are close or he might be down on the scorecards when he gets the knockout. You know.
Well, Donald, one round. Let me get to my next caller here. 404, you're up.
Hey, Ness, yeah, take that Lagunitas hat off, man. That's a bad look for you.
Hey.
But I'm not impressed with Pedraza, and I think Gervonta beats him. It's too explosive, too much speed. So we'll see what happens. But that's all I got, fellas.
All right. Explosiveness and speed, MD.
Yo, that's a nominee for Caller of the Year.
Is that all that we need? Is Pedraza that basic that all you need is explosiveness and speed?
He has a little more than that, but explosiveness and speed aren't just, you know, they don't just come, it's just not common. And Gervonta Davis has uncommon explosiveness and speed, which put people on notice with that. Because when you fight someone like Davis, even if you are a more technical boxer and have a jab, you have to be aware of that and have to fight accordingly. Like, there's a reason why he's not going to stand in the pocket and exchange with him. Because of the explosiveness and speed. So, you know.
Well, I just got messages from Team Davis. There's a big difference when he's in camp and he's in shape and when he's not. This is the most conditioned he's been since I've known him.
Okay.
Well, you know. So
you would say take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, you know. We will see January 14th. Does youth, because Gervonta is 22 years old and Pedraza is 27, but no one ever said 27 was
90
old.
90 seconds.
But I am your host, Nestor Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO. Remember, in the future, present, or past, you can always hit that thumbs up button. You can always go to iTunes and drop us a 5-star review because it helps with the visibility of the show. If you want to continue to support the show and receive exclusive content, head on over to Patreon and check out what we got going on over there. And you can find my good co-host, The Good Doctor, at...
You can find me at BoxingMD1 on Twitter. And I'm really disappointed I didn't get to ask him the question, would he buy, is he going to buy the Cotto Kirkland paper?
Damn, that would have been a good... Why didn't you ask him that? That would have been a good... He would have said, yeah, because, you know, Puerto Ricans are very patriotic.
I don't know if that pay-per-view in Puerto Rico. Maybe they get it on television there. Who knows?
He might be over here. You never know. But he is out in Puerto Rico. Listen, we're gonna be back. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow. You never know. Make sure you subscribe right here. That is the best way to stay up to date. You see, this show was put together in a matter of minutes. You know what I mean? I was watching tape, and I just felt itchy. Like, we need to talk to the champ. And that's what TBV can provide for you. So make sure you subscribe to us either here on YouTube or on Blog Talk or iTunes so that you always get your notifications. See you guys later.